In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. Today is the National Day of Prayer for the Nation. And I need you to know we need to be united. This country is not united. Our church is not united. We need to be united in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'm reading today from the 17th chapter of St. John, which is the high priestly prayer of Jesus Christ to the Father, that they be one as I am in thee and thou art in me. After Jesus had spoken these words, he looked up to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you." And he was going to glorify Jesus on the cross. "Since you have given him authority over all people," Jesus has authority over you and me. We need to give him permission to take the authority, to give eternal life to those whom you have given him. It is for eternal life that Jesus dies for us and rises from the dead. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I glorify you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. How does he finish it? By dying on the cross and rising from the dead. So now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed. So the Word of God existed before anything was created, and everything was created through him and for him. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that I gave to me, I have given to them, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me." Yes, the Father sent Jesus, his only Son. "I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on the behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you have given me, because they are yours." Do you know that you belong to the Father today? That Jesus is praying for you today. "All mine are yours, all yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I no longer am in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are in one." Oh yes, we need to be one in the United States. We need to be one in Christ in the church. We need to be one. We need to be one. "While I was in the world, I protected them in your name that you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost except the one destined to be lost, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and I speak these things to the world, so that they may have my joy made complete in them. I have given them your word. The world has hated them." Why? Because they do not belong to the world. We don't belong to the world. Our kingdom is in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. "Just as I do not belong to the world, I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but I am asking you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world." He says it again. just as I do not belong to the world. This day, this country should not belong to the world. This country was formed in Jesus Christ. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I send them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, so that they also may be sanctified in truth. On the cross he hath does that. I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word. That's you. That's me. We believe in Jesus through the word of the apostles, that they may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I am in thee, that they may be one in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one. In them, I in them, and you in me, that we may become completely one, so that the world may know that you sent me and have loved them even as he has loved me. You, God, the Father loves you as he has loved Jesus. That they would be one as I am in thee and thou art in me. That this country would have one experience of the risen Lord. One experience of the unity in God. There's so much disunity in this country and in the church. We need to be one as Jesus is one with the Father, and the Father is one with Jesus. Simple as that. And that takes a miracle. I'm telling you, that takes a miracle. We continue with the sixth chapter of Hebrews. Therefore, and where there's a therefore, you've got to see what it's there for. Let us go on toward perfection, leaving behind the basic teaching about Christ. We have not left that behind. We're still doing that. Not laying again a foundation, repentance from dead works, and faith toward God. We're still doing that. We have not left that. Instruction about baptisms and laying on of hands. We're still doing that. We're still doing that. You know, he's saying to the Hebrew community, you don't have to go back to that because you know it. But the country does not know it. The church does not know it. The resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. And we will do this if God permits. For it is impossible to restore again to repentance those who have once been enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift. What are these people doing? They want to go back to Judaism. But they have shared in the Holy Spirit and have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the age to come. In other words, if you go back, you'll be crucifying the Lord again. Then have fallen away, since on their own they are crucifying again the Son of God and are holding him up in contempt. Ground that drinks up the rain falling in it repeatedly, and that produces a crop useful to those whom it is cultivated, receives a blessing from God. But if it produces thorns and thistles, going back to Judaism, it is worthless and on the verge of being cursed. Its end is to be burnt over. Even though we speak in this way, beloved, we are confident of better things in your case, things that belong to salvation. For God is not unjust. He will not overlook your work and the love you have showed for his sake in serving the saints as you still do. And we want each one of you to show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope to the very end, so that you may not become sluggish, but imitators, those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Oh yes, through faith and patience we inherit the promises. Don't go back to Judaism. Jesus is Jewish, but Jesus sets up something new, a new and eternal covenant in the blood of Jesus. Yes. You see, they were thinking, you know, the high priest is all decked up. They tie a rope upon him, and they wait for the bells to ring, and they pull him out because the anointing comes upon him. And what about us? Well, I'm going to tell you about us. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the Spirit of God who does miracles. We have the Spirit of God who leads us to Jesus. Yes, the Hebrews were told that they weren't going to continue to teach on Jesus Christ. We still do it because we are babies in the United States. The certainty of God's promise. When God made a promise to Abraham because he had no one greater to whom to swear, he swore by himself saying, I will surely bless you and multiply you. And thus Abraham, having patiently endured, obtained the promise. Men, of course, swear by someone greater than themselves, and an oath given in confirmation puts an end to all dispute. In the same way, when God desired to show even more clearly to the heirs of the promise, that's us, the unchangeable character of his purpose, he guaranteed it by an oath, so that through two unchangeable things, in which is it impossible for God who to be proven false, we who have been taken refuge might be strong and encouraged to seize the hope that's set before us, that hope of eternal life that we already have, but we seize it as one seizes an anchor. We have this hope, a sure, steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters the inner shrine, that's the Holy of Holies in our hearts, behind the curtain, where Jesus, a forerunner for our behalf, has entered, having made high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Now, the letter to the Hebrews are going to say, the Aaronic priesthood was not perfect. How do we know that? Because we need another perfect priesthood, and Jesus gives us this priesthood. He's a priest according to the order of Melchizedek. This King Melchizedek of Salem, priest of the Most High God, met Abraham as he was returning from defeating the kings and blessed him. And to him Abraham apportioned one-tenth of everything, the tithe. His name in the first place means King of Righteousness, Melchizedek. Next, he is also the King of Salem, which is the King of Peace. Without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning, days, or end of life, but resembles the Son of God, in other words, Jesus Christ, has lived forever from all eternity to all the future eternity. He remains a priest forever. See how great he is. Even Abraham the patriarch gave him a tenth of the spoils, and those descendants of Levi who receive the priestly office have a commandment in the law to collect tithes from the people, that is, from their kindred, though these also are descended from Abraham. But this man who does not belong to the ancestry collected tithes from Abraham and blessed him who had received the promises. It is beyond dispute that the inferior is blessed by the superior. That Melchizedek blessed Abraham. Melchizedek is the superior, and he blesses the inferior, Abraham and his descendants. In one case, tithes are received by those who are mortal, in the other sense, by one whom it is testified that he lives. One might even say that Levi himself, who receives tithes, paid tithes through Abraham, for he was still in the loins of Abraham when Melchizedek met him. So he's saying that the priesthood of Aaron paid tithes to Melchizedek. Even though they weren't born, they were in the loins of Abraham. Now, if perfection had been attained through the Levitical priesthood, the Aaronic priesthood, for the people received the law under the priesthood, what further need do we have to speak of another priest arising according to the order of Melchizedek? This is the new priesthood. This is the priesthood of Jesus Christ. He is a priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Do you know that? Our priesthood, and I'm a priest according to the order of Melchizedek also, because I share in the priesthood of Jesus by the grace of God, rather than one according to the other of Aaron. For when there is a change in priesthood, there is necessarily a change in the law as well. Now the one of whom these things are spoken belonged to another type, from which no one has ever served at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord was descended from Judah, and in connection with that tribe, Moses said nothing about priests. It is even more obvious when another priest arrives, resembling Melchizedek, who has become a priest not through a legal requirement concerning physical descent, but through the power of an indestructible life. For it is attested to him, you are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. There is, on the one hand, the abrogation of either commandment, because it is weak and ineffectual, the Aaronic priesthood. For the law made nothing perfect there. There is, on the other hand, the introduction of a better hope, the priesthood of Melchizedek, through which we approach God. That's right, Jesus is a priest according to the order of Melchizedek, to whom we approach God through Jesus. This was confirmed with an oath, for others who became priests took their office without an oath. But this one became a priest with an oath because of the one who said to him, the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever. Accordingly, Jesus has also become the guarantee of a better covenant with better promises. Therefore, the former priests were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office, but he holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able for all time to save those who approach God through him. As we approach God through Jesus Christ, he is able to save us, heal us, deliver us, since he always lives to make intercession for them. He is at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and for me. He is a priest according to the order of Melchizedek. For it was fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, blameless, undefiled, separated from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priests, he has no need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then for the people. This he did once for all when he offered himself. Well, what about Mass? It is the same sacrifice of Calvary. It is not again and again. We make present the same sacrifice of Calvary. Those who eat this bread and drink this cup proclaim the death of the Lord, make present the death of the Lord. For the law appoints as high priests those who are subject to weaknesses, but the word of the oath, which came later than the law, appoints a son who has been made perfect forever. Well, this is Jesus. He has been made perfect forever. Do you know that? Do you know that he is the perfect sacrifice for our sins? He did it once and for all. Chapter 8. Now the main point in what we are saying is this. We have such a high priest, Jesus, one who is seated at the right hand at the throne of the majesty, Jesus, in the heavens, a minister in the sanctuary. and of the true tenth that the Lord and not the mortal has set up. So it's not like the temple in Jerusalem. For every high priest is appointed to offer gifts and sacrifices. Hence, it is necessary for this priest also to have something to offer. Now, if he were on earth, he would not be a priest at all, since there are priests who offer gifts according to the law. They offer worship in the sanctuary that is the sketch and shadow of the heavenly one. For Moses, when he was about to erect the tent, was warned, "See that you make everything according to the pattern that has been shown to you on the mountain." But Jesus has now obtained a more excellent ministry, and to that degree he is the mediator of a better covenant, which has been enacted through better promises, yes, better promises, through the blood and resurrection of Jesus. For if that first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no need to look for a second one. Melchizedek. God finds fault with them when he says, "In the days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will establish a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their ancestors. On that day I took them out by hand and led them out of the land of Egypt. For they did not continue in my covenant, and so I had no concern for them, says the Lord. This is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds, and I will write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant made by Jesus, the priest, according to the order of Melchizedek. And they shall not teach one another or say to each other, 'Know the Lord,' for they shall all know me, from least of them to the greatest. And I will be merciful toward their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more." In speaking of a new covenant, he has made first one obsolete. See, they wanted to return back to the temple. And the Bible is saying that the first covenant, the Levitical priesthood, is obsolete. And growing old, it will soon disappear. What do we have? We have Jesus, who at the right hand of the Father is making intercession for you. Do you know that today? We have Jesus, who is the Lord, who gives us a new covenant, the new covenant in his blood, the new covenant in his blood, that he loves you so much that he shed his blood for you and me. Oh yes, Jesus is a priest according to the order of Melchizedek. I am a priest according to the order of Melchizedek because I share in the priesthood of Jesus Christ. It is so important to know that Jesus now has abrogated the first covenant. It was imperfect, and brings about the new covenant in his blood as high priest of the new and eternal covenant of God. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit, "Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. I need to hear from people so we can pay our bills. You see, we need to pay our bills. If not, we go off radio. It's as simple as that. And I will not get into debt. That's not what God wants. So if this broadcast is a blessing to you, go to inseason.net and leave money on PayPal. All right, Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass., 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass., 02128. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass., 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass., 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.